We open our Bibles tonight and turn to the Word of God to 2 Timothy 3. Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3. Dear Paul, in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, true breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which preach unto houses and lead captives to be women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, that of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from the childhood thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As far as we read God's word, we call our attention tonight to verses 1 through 3 of this chapter. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And then at the very end of verse 5, from such turn away. On this passage of Scripture, and passages such as this, the basic truth of God's Word, we find it once again in the Heidelberg Catechism. We're going to be considering tonight Lord's Day 39, question and answer 1 through 4. Again, you want to find it in the back of the Psalter, it's on page 22. Lord's Day 39, question and answer 1 through 4. What does God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. All around us, we love the saints, we see the signs that forewarn you and me of Christ's swift return. One such sign that we read of in the scriptures is rampant disrespect and disobedience for God-ordained authority in our world. Because men of reprobate mind, as Paul tells Timothy here, hold in unrighteousness, the knowledge that they are given of God. God gives it over into all manner of sin. That's God's judgment on a land or nation that has forsaken and rejected Him and His commandments. One of those sins, according to Romans 1 verse 30, is disobedience to parents. But Paul warns us against that sin in the verses that we have before us tonight as well. There he adds to such disobedience also the sins of unthankfulness, impiousness, and without natural affection. All this is evident in the world of our day, and much of it has crept into the church world at large today as well. Not only do we see God-ordained authority in various spheres spurned, but we find also that basic unit of authority, that is, parental authority, being challenged by children today, but also by society at large. Coupled together with the breakdown of the marriage and the rise in child abuse, has come this inevitable result that we see in our society. Children are born and raised in families that have very little affection and even less sense of duty for children. And because this is true, children grow up in such families with no reverence for or even fear of their parents. And that's because father and mother have little attention that they devote to their children. Rebellion and disobedience are on the rise. We, as the Church of Jesus Christ, are called upon in these last days, in which perilous times have come, to make a stand over against that type of rebelliousness that we see arising in our society. The subject of this fifth commandment of God is basic, once again. And as always, the command is a timely one in the day and age in which we live. Will we stand, children? And will we stand, adults, as spiritual warriors against the tide of rebellion that has swept our own land and our own society? And will we fight in our lives to oppose the forces of evil that exalt all that breaks down the whole in the family? The basic unity of our society. Will we fight back? Or will we, in ignorance, slowly be conditioned by the present world in which we live, so that our generations to come also walk in the same rebellion that we see characterizing in our world today? The sermon tonight, and we're going to preach another one on this commandment that will apply to all of us in general, but the sermon tonight is for our children. The commandment that we receive tonight, the fifth commandment, is this: honor mother and father. It's not a commandment that comes to mother and father, first of all. That's a commandment that comes to you, children of the church. And although perhaps I don't expect the youngest of our children to be able to hold their attention long enough to listen to what needs to be said to you tonight, nevertheless, I do expect our older children in the catechism classes to be able to listen very carefully to what the Word of God says to you tonight. That Word comes specifically to children, and it talks to you about your relationship to your parents. Now, as I mentioned, we live in a lawless age, because the world around us really no longer wants to walk according to the commandments of God And this fifth commandment is one of those commandments. We're going to go next week's sermon and talking about how this commandment applies to various spheres of authority in life. We are all of us, even as adults, are called upon to walk in submission to and obedience to those who God has placed in authority over us. So this week, we're going to talk about that basic unit of society, the whole. So consider with me tonight, hiring parents. First of all, parental authority. Secondly, humble obedience. And then finally, a unified family. Honoring parents, parental authority, humble obedience, and a unified family. At the heart of this commandment lies a fundamental truth of Scripture. It pleases God, I have heard catechism tells us as children, it pleases God to govern us by the hands of our parents. Fundamental principle of the Bible. God is a God of law and order. And He exercises His authority in this world. And He does so by means of those whom He has appointed in those various spheres of authority to rule on His behalf. There is a certain chain of or order in that authority as God Himself has established it. At the head of the chain is God Himself, who rules over all supreme in the heavens. Everything fulfills that sovereign will of God. And every man is called upon to bow before His authority and His power. Whether they do it or not is another question. But nevertheless, God is God. And He rules over all in His great majesty. And no one will subvert His will and His authority and get away with it. Every man will be held accountable before God because He is, after all, the supreme authority in this world. Under God, in that chain of authority, is Jesus Christ Himself. By means of His death on the cross, Christ has earned a place at God's right hand in heaven, and God has given all to Jesus Christ to rule over everything in this world on His behalf. So you have God, you have Jesus Christ. Under Christ, there are various spheres of authority that God Himself has established in this world. There's a sphere that we call government. And God has placed His authority over you and me and our government and certain men that we are called upon to obey. There's a sphere called labor, where the employer is given to me to rule over the employee. There is a sphere that oftentimes is known as the school, which we of course look as an extension of the home. But the basic unit of society, out of which all of these other spheres of authority have developed, is that of the family, and that of the home. In the beginning, God created the family, and He has placed in that family those who are called upon to rule over others. God has chosen children of the church to rule over you by means of your father and your mother, by means of your parents. And whether we like that rule of mom and dad under us in our lives or not, then we should love it. Nevertheless, God rules over us. He's the supreme ruler, and He rules over us in our homes and our families by means of that mother and that father that He has given us there. I say that a fundamental principle, a basic principle of Scripture, that God rules in our homes through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that by means of our parents. Now, perhaps the Word of God teaches us at this point only those who are not saved. It is only going to be natural, isn't it, that an infant son or daughter that's born and raised by a certain set of people are going to use them as their authority in life, the rule that has been established over them in life. Now, in a certain sense, people of God, that's true. A small child does look to their father and mother for their needs, and also for that rule over them in their lives. That ought not to be assumed to be true anymore in the society in which we live. A myriad of unbelieving educators, sociologists, and psychologists are telling us today that it is wrong that parents exercise any kind of control or any kind of rule over their children, and certainly that they may not attempt to shape and mold the moral or the morals or the spiritual life of their children. It's wrong, they say, for parents to teach their children their own set of values, to teach them what they think as parents might be right and might be wrong. The best way of raising children, these educators and sociologists like to say, is by simply leaving the children raise themselves in the home, and that with very little interference in their life. Allow that child to develop for himself or herself their own way of thinking. Allow them to determine for themselves what for them is right and what for them is wrong without imposing on them what you as parents might think is right and wrong. In our society, many children have already been raised under that type of philosophy. And those children have taken places in our society that have great influence over others, not only politicians, not only educators and sociologists who have been thinking that way for a long time, but many people in the sphere of the media as well think exactly that way. There should be no authority exercised in the home. Children may do what they want to do. Though this even philosophy of life does not have much influence in the church where the Word of God is preached, especially over younger children, it does begin to leave a mark on children as they start to grow a little bit older and develop into their teenage years. And that is the church. Our children are being exposed to the Word of God in many different terms of today. Maybe even conditioned by this world. And that children, without you even realizing it, and oftentimes without us as parents even realizing it. You grow up in an age that despises political authority. There's any number of institutions of upper education, in colleges and universities, the first thing that the professor is going to do to young people that are raised in the church is to say to them, forget about everything that you've been taught in the past. Forget about everything that your parents taught you. Open your mind. And open your mind for new ideas, because if you don't, you cannot be anything. And once having convinced young men and women of the church that that's the case, then those educators fill the heads of young people with their ungodly and worldly philosophies. That's often been the fall of many a young man and woman in the Church of Jesus Christ. wicked world in its books, and on television, on the radio, and its songs, has become you all along. Children, have you had the freedom to do what you want to do? It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break the rule. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. I don't hear what they're going to say. Let the storm bring on. The cold never bothered me anyway. How many of my children have seen and heard that very popular song? And if you get it, this is what you do. Well, that'll bother you. If you see what's trying to be taught by religion, and Disney is a liberal for this, they're trying to teach rebellion against the authority of the mother and father and the home, the Christian home, that was attempting to teach their children that there is a right, and there is a wrong, and that you are not free to decide to do what you want to do in this life, but that you in fact are under God's law, and that God's law will determine for you what is right and what is wrong. We ought not to be fooled by the present world in which we live. That's a time for fun, we are told. Time for defying authority and a time to sow our wild oats, so to speak, for a time. Who goes to parents? Who listens to what parents say? Parents? There are less of years gone by. Who are out of touch with the reality of our modern day. That's what's being taught today. There are no longer those whom God has placed in authority over you. They are simply those who get in the way of seeking what you want in your life and your own pleasure. And when parents say no to you or to anything that you want, they are made out by this wicked world as being dumb idiots who simply get in the way of life. And they're not worth listening to. What would lead us to believe, children of the church, that there really is no need for parents except maybe to take care of your earthly needs and give you everything that you want from them? There's no need for parental rule in your life. Although they need not go that far. Nevertheless, parents in our eyes oftentimes become a picture of rules and boredom. They at times embarrass us as we get older. And then they at times employ us, and then at times make us tolerate angry, get them, and do our child with them, and say things to our parents that are disrespectful, and certainly isn't God-fearing and God-honoring. Like all that, we ought to know that God, whom we love, don't we, as children of the church? We love that God, don't we? That God, whom we love, and who loves us too, has given us our parents for that day. In order that we might be raised in the fear of His name. The fear does that in three different ways. Mother and father are called upon by God in the scriptures to instruct their children in His word and in His ways. Using the word of God, parents teach by means of that instruction in the home. They teach their children how they must serve God in this world. And we as parents ought not to leave that to someone else. That's not a duty that is given to anyone other than us as parents. Well, it's given to the church too to instruct our children, but that's our duty. That's our duty. We don't give that duty to the government or society in which we live. As parents, we make that calling to instruct our children diligently in our own homes and in our own families. We don't just leave it up to the Christians to move to do that. We do that at home. We do that as fathers. We do that as mothers. We spend time with our children. We read with them. We pray with them. We make sure that they're connected with the Word. We make sure that the written Word is loved. We do that as parents. We instruct our children, you see, diligently, to the utmost of our power in the Word of God. We may not always appreciate that when mom or dad or one of them sit down with us and instruct us in the Bible, especially when it comes to applying that to something that we would like to do and we know that we should. We don't always like that instruction of our parents. But God has given them that duty. Instruct the children. And when they instruct children, they do that in obedience to God, who after all is the supreme ruler of our homes. Second way parents are called upon to do this is by means of correction. Edward Gaggins called their attention to both. Correction. In other words, they must discipline their children. They must do that through words of admonition that they speak, as well as by means of other various, perhaps harsher forms of discipline. And that was the express purpose of teaching our children something. How to say no to sin. If I walk in the way of sin, if I'm in bondage, or I'm spanked, because I've done something wrong, then our parents are teaching us sin is punishment. And better be that punished by rod in the hand of a loving parent than be punished by God in hell from the Lord of Liberty. We must say no to our own sinful flesh that's so tempted, you see, to walk after the ways of others. My new parent is commanded by God, and this is not optional, by the way. Teach by example. Children, you may not think that your parents have not experienced the same things that you do in your lives. And especially as you grow older, that's a key word to think. My parents don't know what I'm going through in my life. They just don't understand me. You know what? Parents understand you very well. Because they went through the same temptations. And they went through often times the same experiences. And they confronted the same sins in their generation as you do in your generation. There is no new thing under the sun, Solomon teaches us. And that means that when our parents, by way of example, lead us in a particular way, not in another way, that we follow after their godly example and say, I want to be like my mother, and I want to be like my father. I love them, and I know that God is ruling over me in their lives, and even though I might see, as we're going to notice in a moment, their weaknesses, and their sins, yours aren't perfect. Nevertheless, I want to be like them. I want to walk as they walk in their lives. So we have that God-ordained authority in our lives as children in the home. And the command of God to them is, I hold you parents responsible. You, father and mother, are responsible to exercise my rule in your home by instructing those children in the fear of my name, by correcting them if it means harsh correction, it's by being a godly example to them, so that they can follow that example. You're doing that on my behalf, and the parents don't do that. Believe me, the parents will be answerable to God for that. But, children, nevertheless, seeing that God ordained authority in father and mother, now render obedience to them. Isn't it a blessed thing that God gives us living hearts and home? And in many of our instances of being the father of a blessing. You know what a wonderful blessing that is, children? Having a being father and mother. Don't take that for granted. It's God's covenant way with his children. Children of his covenant. This is how God chooses to carry on that covenant that it establishes from one generation to the next generation, the generations of believers who understand. He ordains solid Christian homes, Christian parents who instruct and correct what we are saying. How ordains them? Well, there is no doubt either that your parents do not do everything right. That is pointed out for the moment. That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and submit myself with a good instruction and correction with equal obedience. Now listen to this, children. And also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God and God is Father. Parents do not claim to be perfect. Yeah, we'll see some inconsistencies on the part of a father and a mother. So that in one instance they might say no. And then all of a sudden, in a similar situation, yes, we do have a problem that they were inconsistent in what they did, or maybe the seniors. As long as they have told us we need to do this, we see them behavior. So we see sins and we see weaknesses in our fathers and mothers. We do. They're there. And fathers and mothers like to admit that to their children too as well. Again, they teach their children by means of example. And we ought to admit to our children that not only we sin, but that we're sorry. And when we've been inconsistent with them, then we ought not be afraid to admit that either and say we're sorry. That's all they were saying. No, really, before God. And then look at this, children. You may see their sins and weaknesses, but you can develop those sins and weaknesses yourself. And start pointing the finger at mom and dad and saying, look at their sins and weaknesses, and you know that you have not done anything yourself. And someday you're going to be a mother and a father, or a mother. And you're going to have to raise children who see your sins, your inconsistencies. None of that alleviates the fact that God Himself chooses to govern us as children of the church by the hand of our parents, and that though they may be sinning in the evening, and we are called upon to submit. That's our call to see. That parental authority now and all. What's our calling for? That parental authority. And the answer is from the obedience. God demands that of children in the home for their parents. Humble obedience. Obey your parents and humbly submit yourselves to their rule. And when God says to you, children of the church, and He says this to you, honor father and mother, and that's the first thing that He expects from you. Obedience to your parents. Obedience is humble, quiet, and cheerful submission to the instruction, discipline, and example that our parents give us. It is without arguing the matter with them, cheerfully listening to them, and following what we are told to do or not to do by them. No complaints, no moanings, no groanings. That's true obedience. Paul writes to Timothy in the verses that we had before us tonight, 2 Timothy 3. This know that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That is what is going to characterize the people of our society in the last days. Indeed, those days are upon us. Notice among that list is disobedience to parents. And then in very close connection with that is being unfaithful to parents. And then impious or unholy in our attitude toward parents. And then without even any kind of natural affection that we ought to be showing our parents. That's what we see now in the present world in which we live. The commandment that we have before us is no longer taught, and neither is it any longer heeded, it seems, in today's world. The children of the church, you are being challenged. Not our parents so much, as you are being challenged today. The generation of your parents is dealing with this problem, as difficult as it may be for them. They're dealing with it, their parents today. But in the not so far off distance, and you may think it may be in the long way off, but it's not. In the not so far off distance, you're going to be in the same position that they're in. And you are going to be called by God to raise your children in the dark ages in which we live. There's a challenge to you. If you cannot show proper obedience to mother and father now in your lives, what do you expect that your children are going to do a generation from now? What plan are you going to be in with your parents and in this present society in which we live? Has degenerated even the father so that there is violence and even more disobedience than we're talking in this world. And you're going to have to raise your children in that atmosphere. The challenge is directed at you. You're going to need to stand. And that stand starts now in your home, in your family, as children. That stand that you make will follow you through in your generation when you're called upon to raise your children. Don't be parents characterized by your own weaknesses and by your own infirmities and sins. And that world was done. Even the more so rob you of that parental authority that you're going to have to exercise in your home. As we said, the world is conditioning your hands right now. The world is conditioning the children that are being born right now, that are being raised right now. They're conditioning those children to be rebellious. Because we live in perilous lives. We live in this world is coming. Will there be those? You gotta have faith in you. That's the question. That means warfare. Good sound spiritual warfare. And it's not a war or a battle that's going to be for the weak. By faith, you have to remain strong for the Roman Church. Don't be spiritually powerless in your life and health. Father, I love you. I'm thanking God for the place that you've given me in my life. And when you tell me that something is wrong, I won't do it. I will obey you. And I will obey you the first time when you told me. Learn the value of that instruction that's given to you, this commandment that we had before us. And follow after the instruction that mom and dad give to us. Follow after their example. And follow after that discipline that they administer to us in our lives. And I can say that to the children sitting here today. Not that they can give it to you, the children of the Church of Jesus Christ, the Spirit will be in your life. I'm not going to say that. I can say this to you because I believe that God works in your hearts too, so that you have a knowledge of your sin. And your need for the cross of Jesus Christ. And I can say these things to you with the understanding that when you hear them, you're looking at your own heart and saying, wow, I failed. I didn't obey my mother, I didn't obey my father as I should. I'm not honoring them as I'm called upon to do this. God fearing child of the whole. My belief, if you take those sins before the cross of Jesus Christ, if you confess those sins there, then you find your forgiveness too. But there's more yet. Not only does this command require your children to obey, it's unique, you know, for the commandment that we had before us, but it's not this obey your father. As I said, in the Christian home and family, that's the first way you honor father and mother, is by obedience. But the commandment really doesn't say obey father and mother, it's an honor. And it might be, that we have a father or mother that doesn't instruct us or leave us a God-given for disagreements because they don't love God. Still fall upon my right to honor them. Honor them in the place that God has given them in particular to me in my life. And honor them means that I show them proper respect and reverence. Our parents are not our buddies, is it? What a false notion that is in today's world is that all our parents want to make their children their buddies. Our parents are our buddies. They're not our peers, they're not our equals. God has placed them in a position of authority over us. And we might want to sometimes think that we're the equals of our parents, but we're not. We're not. God has placed them in a position that stands over us. Now, that doesn't mean that our parents are our friends. Friends is one of them. We can confide all the deepest secrets. We need to do that. We want to do that with our parents. They're our friends. In fact, in all of our other earthly friends trying to save us, oftentimes our parents are still with us. But nevertheless, they're our parents. God has placed them in a position of rule and authority over us. And always we look to them and fear Father. And we fear Father. That's what it means to honor them. We show respect to them. No foolish servant and a foolish daughter who disobeys their parents and walk in the way of rebellion and sin. Is a curse to their home and family. And as a pastor, I've seen that many, many different times throughout the short years of my own ministry. Children that have grown up and rebelled against their mother and against their father, and against the ways that they were raised and viewed before. Those kinds of children cause an unhappy home. Because when they are at home, there's nothing but quarrel and rebellion against their parents. And parents with such children are grieved. So, especially as their children grow up, the teenagers have been. Into their youth, they see them walking in the way of the children of this God. That's a grief. Yes. How can a parent deal with a child as he grows older, as she grows older, that disrupts the unity of the whole local community? You deal with it. Teenage son that showed open defiance to his father and mother. How do you deal with that as a parent? Want that parent to oust and rebellious son and daughter from their home? Why they keep that parent or that child here so that they can still have some kind of godly influence on that parent? Let's face it, that's a struggle. That can take place. With a parent where they can't let come to the child that grows up before us. Those are heart-rending questions. A tear a father and a mother up. We want to know that as children do. That's what rebellion does to a woman. It interrupts the unity and the happiness and the joy of that family where we live. Let me read to you the account that was given in the Old Testament concerning the son that had grown older and had rebelled against his father and mother. If a man had a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father, but the voice of his mother. And that when they have chastened him, he will not hearken unto them. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of his city, and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among them, and all his wealth shall be thee. There was no mercy shown to that son who was stubborn and rebellious and refused to obey his father. Stoning him! Well, the church of today, of course, has been stoning people to death. But what is the church of today but this? And you'll find that to be the case in your lives too. So that if you know older, if you're rebellious, that warning. On the other hand, that child will obey by bringing modern appearance in the vision of all that they can unify. Unify his goal, unify his purpose, and therefore happy. It's a home that that young man, as he now grows into adulthood, or that young woman, it's a home. It's a home that they're going to want to establish for themselves. I want my home to be like the home of my father and of my mother. When it is, you see, then that will result in what God promises in His commandment. The days of such a child, the days of such a youth will be long in the land which the Lord is God gives. That doesn't mean they're going to live to be 100 or 150 years old because he showed obedience to father and mother. It means this, that from generation to generation, the Lord will preserve his covenant in the mind of their generations. And their life will be long in the land which the Lord their God has given to them. That's the way, you see, that God gathers his church from within. In the line of generations, into the line of generations where there's godly homes and godly families, and where children are obedient to their parents and walk in honor toward their father and mother. That's where God preserves his church. That's where God continues his church from one generation to the next generation. And that, until one day, we all appear before God. And we stand with that God, with our children, and our children's children, that land for them. And there we'll see the goodness of our God in the long life for you. Obey your parents, children. Because by doing so, you're obeying your God. Amen. Father in heaven, we are grateful unto thee for the children of the church. They are special to us because when we look at our children, then we see in them the future church. The church that will stand in the next generation. And although with our fervent prayer about that, our own fellowship might grow from without, and that others too will join us together under the blessed gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is also our fervent prayer that thou wilt continue thy church here in this place, that it might grow from within, and that by means of children to honor and who obey and submit themselves to the rule of their parents. Give us children of that sort. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. We sing the other song.